Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I was thinking during the break there, I got to tell you, Lonzo, a couple of weeks ago, during inauguration week, one of the discussions that was going on here on the station was, if you could issue one executive order to change sports, what would that executive order be? And I didn't think about this one at the time, but as somebody who's been in sports broadcasting for a number of years now, I think my executive order for college football, Lonzo, I think I'd get rid of the early signing periods. And I think we'd go back to just having National Signing Day in February. Just give me National Signing Day. I remember back in the day, and obviously this year is different, but back in the day, National Signing Day, when I was working my show down in the Panhandle, National Signing Day was an event. I mean, it was an event. We were throwing parties and remotes. We were going out and doing interviews day after day leading up to it. And then the day of National Signing Day, we'd be throwing remotes with dozens and dozens of people showing up. When I used to MC events for a number of alumni and booster clubs down in the Pensacola area, and on National Signing Day, I'd be call after call. Hey, man, can you come MC this National Signing Day party for us? Can you come MC this National Signing Day party? We'll sponsor this so that you come to ours instead of theirs. It used to be a whole big thing. And now, though, National Signing Day has just kind of morphed into me sitting here in front of a computer tracking the Rivals.com tracker, because teams like Clemson and teams like Ohio State, they're not even doing anything today. They're done. They signed everybody during the early period. It's a selfish thing, but I kind of miss the pomp and circumstance that used to come along with National Signing Day every year.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, because when you said it was National Signing Day, I was like, I thought that already happened because of the early signing and how exciting it was to hear all the. But yeah, there used to be an event. There would be wall-to-wall coverage on TV. There would be so much stuff going on, and now it's just kind of almost an afterthought, except for, you know, shows like this and those recruiting junkies out there. Other than that, it's lost all of its luster, all of its fanfare.
Texters, ask you a question. Before you tuned into the show today, did you know today was National Signing Day? Yes or no? 71307. Start your text with ESPN. ESPN, yes, or ESPN, no. Did you know that today was National Signing Day before you turned on the show this afternoon? So I got to tell you, I was prepping National Signing Day, and this is when I started thinking about it. It was last night. I started prepping for the show today. I started prepping National Signing Day stuff. I got a bunch of Carolina stuff together about National Signing Day, and then I started getting the Clemson stuff together, and the first couple of things I saw were, well, Clemson's got the number four class in the country, and they can only go down because they're done. They're done. They're not signing anybody else today. They've already got their class rounded out, filled out. There's not going to be any moves for the Tigers today. And it kind of blew my mind because, like I said, I used to go to Booster Club events around the Florida Panhandle. I used to go to Booster Club events that would have dozens and dozens and dozens of people that were there watching the ACC Net or SEC Net or, you know, watching. As a matter of fact, I remember one, I did a Booster Club meeting for the FSU Booster Club down in Destin. They invited me to come out. And so I'm emceeing their event. And this is National Signing Day, though. They ended up with Mickey Andrews, the old defensive coordinator for FSU under Bobby Bowden. They ended up getting Mickey Andrews to come out. And I got into a conversation with Mickey Andrews. And I said, Coach, in your opinion, you know, how important it is National Signing Day? And Mickey Andrews looked at me and said, honestly, it was the most important day of the year for us. I mean, it's the year you build your team. You build your team today. You can go out there and be the greatest practice coach of all time. You can go out there and know how to develop talent. You can go out there and understand and have the best systems in the world in place. But if you build the wrong team, if you bring in the wrong players, if you have the wrong guys under the helmet when you get out on the practice field and try to put those systems in there, your team will fall apart. It will be broken before you even start to build it. And so that's why National Signing Day is such a big day. And it's always been interesting because, you know, look, recruiting is the lifeblood of college football. Nobody's going to argue with that. Getting the right guys into the team and putting them at the right position, that is the lifeblood of college football. But realistically, hey, quick, here's one. Lonzo, I'm going to put you on the spot. And don't worry, because you'll do better than me. I'm going to put you on the spot, Lonzo. Name me one Ohio State recruit this year without looking it up.
I can't.
Yeah. Lifeblood of college football, baby. Most important thing that college football teams do is recruit. Lonzo's an OSU fan. Lonzo works in sports broadcasting. Lonzo, name me one Ohio State Buckeye recruit. Just one.
All right, I'm going to sound arrogant when I say this, but I just want to say that I don't need to know who the recruits are because they only pick the best of the best. And so I know whoever's going to that wonderful program at The Ohio State University is going to be a top-notch performer on and off the field.
Yeah, and this is where, if you're a fan, this is why that was so funny. This is where trusting your coach comes into play, right? Because I can't follow recruiting here. Here's Ohio State.
I would say, even though I know how that sounded, and I do believe that, there are a few schools that are like that. You can throw Clemson in there. You can throw Alabama in there to where you trust the coaches, you trust the school enough, you know that they're going to get some good players coming in. And when you see them on the field, then you become fans of them.
Yeah.
But if you're in a school like South Carolina, where every recruit counts towards building into something else, especially under a new regime, I could see why you would pay more attention to that.
Yeah, recruiting is the lifeblood, and you got to trust your coach to build the right class. But it doesn't mean you don't get excited about following National Recruiting Day. Ohio State ended up with the number one recruit in the country in defensive end Jack Sawyer. This is a guy that could have picked any school he wanted to go play for and gotten there. They ended up with the number one running back in the country in Travion Henderson. Could have probably played anywhere he wanted to. It's exciting, even if you don't really follow recruiting all that much, or at least it used to be, man. It used to be exciting. National Signing Day, when I was working, back before the early signing period, early in my career, National Signing Day was huge.
Yeah, where is the story of that kid who's undecided about where he's going to go, or he knows and he hasn't told anybody, and there's an inventive way of telling everyone? Is it because of COVID? Is this the reason why that this has slacked off so much this year? We don't see someone jumping out of a helicopter or something to declare where they're going, or all the hats and all that kind of thing. We're just not seeing it. And I was looking on the cable to see if I could find anything, you know, one channel that's showing a bunch of the, and I don't see anything.
Yeah. It used to be that all of the college, the Big Ten network, well, I mean, they weren't the networks at the time, but all of the sports-centric networks back in the day on National Signing Day, they were all tuned in, man. They were all tuned in. Everybody was following it. This year, not so much. Not so much. Look, when I was putting together my show prep last night and getting ready to track these teams today, and I'm looking around because I usually what I'll do on signing day, I'll have 4, 5, 6 different recruiting trackers going, right? You see who breaks what, when, how fast, etc. Usually I have a bunch. There really aren't that many. I think, you know, Rivals has one, 24/7 has one. You know, I check some of the big networks, and the big networks, as I'm looking at them, are kind of like every now and then they'll hop over. Oh, we got this. This thing happened. And that's really it, which is, like I said, it's just, it takes away from some of the fun of college football. This is the most important day on the college football calendar, according to guys like Mickey Andrews. This is the day. This is the most important day, is National Signing Day. And it just doesn't have the pomp and circumstance that it used to have, which is disappointing. Anyway, so speaking of top recruiting classes, Alabama right now, according to ESPN, has the number one recruiting class in the country. And it's a very line heavy class, which, you know, this year was probably one of the worst years for offensive line out of Alabama. And oh, by the way, they won a fistful of awards. So they decided to fix that. A lot of offensive linemen and defensive linemen coming in for Alabama. That certainly doesn't mean that they got skill players. They did. Ohio State, as we mentioned, no signings today. They had one or two targets left out on the left coast that they were gunning for. Those targets signed very early this morning. So Ohio State is done for the day with the number two class in the country. Georgia is at number three. Clemson, number four. LSU, number five. Your top five recruiting classes: Oregon, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, USC, and the Gators of Florida are 6 through 10. Miami is 11. North Carolina, 12. 13, Oklahoma. 14, Michigan. 15, Wisconsin. Maryland at 16. The Volunteers, Longhorns, Rebels, and Golden Bears of Cal are 17 through 20. Arkansas is at number 21. Washington at number 22, Virginia, NC State, Pittsburgh, and Nebraska round out the top 25. We'll keep an eye, again, on this tracker as we go through the rest of the day. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, I told you yesterday's one of my Chicago mobster now. I told you guys yesterday's. I don't know why I did that. Told you yesterday, Clemson needed to break out the defense if they wanted to knock off the Tar Heels of North Carolina last night. Did they do it? Yes, I'll tell you when we come back here in just a minute from right now. My name is Rob Brown. Lonzo's at the controls. You're listening to the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate, y'all.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. Robin Lonzo with you. And now we go to the phone lines. Big Ten Todd checking in with us on the show today. Todd, thanks for taking a minute. Great to have you on the show, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
What you got for us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Fire away.
Yeah, you were talking about the relevancy of the today's signing day. The NCAA has basically made it obsolete. It don't mean anything. Because everybody signs early now in the early signing period. Most schools' classes are done already.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's what I said. The early signing period has basically wiped out the pomp and circumstance from National Signing Day. And again, you know, it's one of those things that I think National Signing Day, having an early period, is it better for the students? I mean, at the end of the day, most of the time when it comes to conversations like this, I try to look at it as what's best for the athletes, what's best for the students. I'm assuming that there's some boosts, some benefits to National Signing Day or getting rid of it and having an early signing period for the students, but it just kind of feels like we've taken out one of the biggest and best and most important and frankly fun days of recruiting, to tell you the truth.
Well, you got to remember, most of these kids that signed early in the early signing period are already in school. They check in after first semester, and they get a little jump start on the studies, a little jump start on the program. And yeah, I think it is better, but it just takes away everything from today.
Yeah, I agree with you, Todd. Appreciate the phone call. Great to have you on the air, buddy. Thanks for checking in at 844.
Thanks, guys.
You got it, man. 844 GSP. ESPN 844-477-3776, the number to get on board. The early signing period, you know, again, and this is what makes it tough for me, Lonzo. Like I said, I usually am always looking out for what's best for the student athletes. I want the student athletes to have the best possible experience that they can out of this, the most benefits, especially when it comes to the aspects of being a student / athlete. And I'm sure that the early signing day is good for them. But selfishly, I just miss National Signing Day being a quasi-national holiday for college football fans. I'm just selfish.
You're not selfish. You're just missing the way things used to be. I don't blame you. And like I said, I loved, even though I'm not that big-time recruiting guy, I loved having on TV and seeing all the pomp and circumstance, seeing how I'm not the guy who thinks, well, they should just pick a school and not throw all the theatrics into it. Obviously, we're not the show for men. We love entertainment. And so I love not knowing where a kid was going to go and finding out on that day. I think that was an amazing experience, not only for us, but for the kids themselves. And it's a shame that that's gone away, and I'm not so sure it's ever coming back.
Text line 71307, I ask you to text us. Just text yes or no. Did you even know that today was National Signing Day? It's about 50% right now. It's about 50%. About half the text say yes, they did know it was National Signing Day. About half the text said no, they did not know that it was National Signing Day. Again, if you're a college football fan, it used to be that National Signing Day was a huge day. Was a huge day that we knew. Not so much anymore. Not so much anymore. So, anyway, is National Signing Day. We're keeping an eye on that for you as we roll forward. Want to get to the Clemson basketball game from last night. Clemson in, I don't know that it was a must win for the Tigers, but it was certainly one that they would want to have won. They had an opportunity to really jump up and not just bite North Carolina, but keep themselves competitive in the ACC. I mean, they're not that far off. 2.5 games back going into yesterday's matchup with the Tar Heels. And now they find themselves in a much better situation. As it stands right now in the ACC, Clemson improves to 5-5, 11-5 overall. Of course, all five losses coming within the conference. They're now 7-1 at home, by the way. 7-1 at home. Only a couple of teams have done that well at home in the ACC. And they find themselves not too far back out. Virginia Tech and FSU atop the boards. Virginia 7-1, Virginia Tech 7-2, FSU 6-2. But like we mentioned, the reason that one was so big yesterday was very simple. Was very simple because FSU's got the next three games paused. The next three games are paused. And the next games are paused because of the pandemic. Those three games are against Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Boston College. So ahead of Clemson, you've got three teams that are going to be losing ground this week because they can't add wins onto the schedule. That means that a win against Carolina last night to reel them in one game closer. Carolina now at 6-4, Duke at 5-4. Was big time. That was a big win. And again, it was all defense, man. Clemson was up 33-21 at halftime behind high-pressure defense. 10 first-half turnovers, 17 total turnovers in the game. North Carolina had a size advantage. I told you that they were going to want to play from the forward position in, and you had to take that away, and they basically did that. Amir Sims, 10.6 boards, 6 assists, was able to basically hold the inside against 6'11 Dayron Sharp and 6'10 Garrison Brooks for Carolina. Clemson, a lot of backups, a lot of post-ups, a lot of runouts, basically were making North Carolina uncomfortable. Carolina was never really able to get into a rhythm with their big men under the basket because the pressure was so great on the outside looking in that the passing lanes to the interior just never really developed. They were never able to get an offense going that allowed them to take advantage of their power forward and big man play. Clemson locked down the inside. They locked down the paint, made Carolina play guard play as the primary source of scoring, and it just did not work out for them. Just did not work out for Carolina. One player in double digits on the scoreboard for Carolina last night. It was the man that we just told you about a second ago, Dayron Sharp. 16 for Sharp. Nobody else had more than 9. 9 for Love, 4 for Playtech, 8 for Brooks, and 9 for Walton coming off the bench. And that was it. Clemson only had 3 scores in triple figures. Trapp with 14, Tyson with 16, and Amir Sims had 10. Everybody else was at 7 or below, but you held North Carolina to a 39% shooting night from the floor, 17 of 44 from the floor. It wasn't a ton better for the Tigers. 23 of 57 made them good for 40%, but they had plenty more opportunities, 13 more field goal opportunities for Clemson over Carolina. They also shot better from 3. Clemson, North Carolina, 5 of 19, and the free throw stripe came into play. Carolina was at the line much more often, almost twice as many times. Carolina went to the line 21 times, but they made only 11. Clemson went to the stripe 12 times, but they made 9 of them, 75% clip from the line. And we mentioned the turnovers. 17 turnovers created by the Clemson Tigers. They gave the ball away only 7 times. 13 points coming directly off of turnovers for Clemson last night. 13 points. 13 points coming directly off of turnovers, Lonzo. 63-50, your final score. 13 points off of turnovers. 13 points is your margin of victory. I said defense and turnovers would win this game, Lonzo. It's almost like I know what I'm talking about sometimes.
Yeah, almost. I'm not a math whiz, but I think that might have been the difference in the game right there. And I think there's not enough defense played in basketball. And when there is, you see the difference that it makes. And we had talked about that whether this was a must-win or not. I think it was a must-win. And it is a big win for the Clemson basketball program. Now, can they continue on and do this some more?
So this was, again, whether it was must-win or not, I mean, look, up for grabs. You're trying to get yourself into the best position you can be in the ACC tournament. And this goes a long way in that direction. The other stat that I really found interesting was points in the paint, right? Points in the paint. We talked about the fact that North Carolina had a size advantage on the inside, but that overall Clemson was going to have to end up in a spot where they made the guards play from the top in as opposed from letting Carolina work from the inside out. And they did just that in the paint. 26 points in the paint for Clemson, just 18 for North Carolina. Outside that, most of your stats leaned Clemson just barely, but it was the turnovers where you had a clear lead. It was points off of turnovers where you had a clean lead. It was success at the free throw line where you had a clean lead. And it was points in the paint. Those were the four categories where Clemson clearly put down North Carolina, and those added up to a 13-point win. I mean, that's a great win for Brad Brownell's squad. Quick break. We'll come back here in just a minute. Super Bowl talk. Let's go ahead and start talking X's and O's. What do you say? Text line's open, 71-307. Start your text with ESPN. Tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo on Word, at ESPN Upstate. Give us a call. Come on air with us, 844-GSP-ESPN. Super Bowl football when we come back on The Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On your radio, this is ESPN Upstate. Robin Lonzo with you. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-1010. 3776 is the number to be a part of the program. Text us 71307. Start your text with ESPN. We'll read them on the air. Tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at ESPN Upstate, at Lonzo on Word. All the ways to get in touch with us here at the station. So let's start with the obvious one, Zoe, as we start into the X's and O's of Super Bowl weekend. And I don't know, Lonzo, if you have picked up on this. There's been a storyline that I've only seen in the media once or twice. It hasn't been getting a lot of play, and I feel like it should, right? I feel more people should be talking about this storyline that's been coming out about the Super Bowl. Lonzo, we have two very good quarterbacks that are going to be facing off against each other. Tom Brady v. Patrick Mahomes.
Who?
Yeah, I know. Couple of guys that are, I mean, really, these guys are having to work pretty hard, Lonzo, to get their names in the paper. And I just feel like they deserve a little bit more conversation about this showdown than they've been getting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely underrated players who play on awesome teams that get all the shine, and these guys don't. And it's people need to talk about them.
Brady in his 10th Super Bowl, of course. By the way, Brady is playing in his 10th Super Bowl, which is more than every team in the National Football League has played in, with the exception, of course, of his own New England Patriots, and they only had two appearances before he showed up. He is the oldest quarterback to start a Super Bowl at 43. Obviously, we've talked about the weapons he has. Mike Evans, 70 catches, over 1,000 yards and 13 touchdowns. Chris Godwin, 65 catches, 840 and 7. Antonio Brown, 45 catches, 483 and 4 touchdowns in just 8 games. We've talked about the man who declared himself the fastest guy in the league in Scotty Miller. Rob Gronkowski, although he's been quiet this year, is available as well. I think if he gets the Super Bowl, it doesn't make him the GOAT. It doesn't just make him the GOAT so far, but it actually cements that legacy. And then, of course, you've got Patrick Mahomes on the other side, a guy who has known nothing but success since he took over in Kansas City. In his 3 years as a starter, made an AFC Championship appearance, won a Super Bowl in his second year, returns in his third year for a second opportunity at a ring. The guy has plenty of weapons to work around as well. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, all of those guys had over 40 receptions this year. How much, and as subjectively as possible here, Zoe, I know that you aren't a big fan of the GOAT conversation, but if Mahomes knocks off Brady here, will you consider this a passing of the torch moment of sorts from Brady to Mahomes?
First of all, from out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your slip of the tongue did not get by me. And then you quickly corrected it as far as the GOAT thing. Go back and listen to our podcast to see what I'm talking about.
If GOAT you did, so
if you didn't
far.
Catch it. No. There's no passing of the torch here. How many years has Mahomes played? Even though I don't acknowledge Tom Brady as the GOAT, and never will, ever, even by force of penalty of death, probably I would never admit that because I don't believe it. And because I don't believe it, I won't say it. Mahomes hasn't played long enough to be called the GOAT of anything yet. And yeah, he's a quarterback on the team that I pull for, but a decade from now, if you want to start talking about that, then I will go with the GOAT so far. But even with him, even one of my favorite players on my team, I cannot call him the greatest of all time because time has not ended.
Of all time so far.
Of all time so far. Hopefully at that point, exactly. Hopefully at that point, I will be able to say that. Hopefully at that point, I will say, All right, now Mahomes has been to 10 straight Super Bowls and won every single one. You know, that's very unrealistic, but it could happen.
Significantly unrealistic. Yes. A couple other players I'm really interested in watching play in the Super Bowl on Sunday. Guy that hasn't really gotten as much talk. He had some injuries earlier in the year. I think he had, if I recall, he had to sit out a couple due to catching the Rona. On the Tampa Bay side of the football, keep an eye on Devin White. Devin White out of LSU, ranked third in the NFL this year with 97 solo tackles, had 9 sacks, 15 tackles for a loss. This is the definition of an everywhere player. I mean, this guy can cover. This guy can spy. This guy can line up, close down the A-gap, and solo tackle just about any running back or fullback in the National Football League. If Tampa Bay is going to win this game, Lonzo, then I suspect at the end of it, Devin White will be being mentioned as a potential Super Bowl MVP candidate. That guy has turned into one of the best linebackers in the league. They are going to need everything he's got to either keep Mahomes from extending plays outside of the pocket or to lock down any of the weapons that are going to be coming out of the Kansas City backfield. If Tampa Bay wants to upset the Kansas City Chiefs, Devin White is going to have himself a day.
Agreed. And there are several players on Tampa Bay side that need to have a really good day. But for me, on the defensive side, Grady Jarrett has to have the kind of day that he had against Green Bay. If he does, going up against, as you pointed out and everyone else has pointed out, and might make me a little bit nervous eventually, neither starting tackle is playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. And you got these guys coming off the edge that are really, really good. I think a defensive player, it's very rare, but I think a defensive player could be the MVP of the Super Bowl if they got enough pressure, like a Grady Jarrett, if he got enough pressure on Mahomes, caused some fumbles, caused some quick passes, got some sacks, could very well be the guy that helps Tampa Bay win the Super Bowl.
I agree with you. And frankly, I think in either direction, you could see a defensive player be the Super Bowl MVP and the reason that his team hosts the Lombardi. Over on the other side of the ball, I want to talk about a Kansas City defensive player that has always had his name in the news but is having a sneaky good season this year. How about Tyrann Mathieu playing strong safety? We saw in that Green Bay game and in the New Orleans game out of Tom Brady, Tom Brady was dropping some deep balls. He had that touchdown to Scotty Miller against Green Bay that really kind of put all of the momentum into the back pocket of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Against New Orleans, he had another big touchdown. I want to say Scotty Miller again, that kind of all of a sudden shocked the Saints into, uh-oh, this team is actually pretty damn good. Tyrann Mathieu is going to be called on a number of times to try to take that deep ball opportunity away from Tom Brady. 6 interceptions this year, which is a career high for him. Tacked on another momentum swinging pick in the divisional round against the Browns and Baker Mayfield when the Chiefs were in an absolute fight with Cleveland at that point. There's a very good chance that Tyrann Mathieu is going to be called on to make a couple of big plays. And if he comes up short, Lonzo, and Scotty Miller is able to pop a couple like he did the last 2 games leading up to the Super Bowl, Brady's going to get comfortable and in a rhythm. And it's, look, we saw it against New Orleans. We saw it against Green Bay. Both of those teams early in the game prevented Tom Brady from getting into a rhythm. But once he got the timing down, once he got into a rhythm, once he got consistent, he's beating teams on the road that nobody picked him to beat. If Tyrann Mathieu gets beat once or twice and Brady develops a rhythm, getting some balls down the field there, Lonzo, could end up being a very long day.
Yeah, but also the opposite. If the Honey Badger, who I was ecstatic about when Kansas City ended up getting him, because he brings a tenacity, he brings swagger, he brings it, period, because he's not afraid to tackle. He's not afraid to do the things you need to do on defense, and he's definitely a leader. And, you know, Tom Brady wants to go at him. He might end up getting picked off, which we saw happen 3 times the last time Tampa Bay was on the field. Do I believe that that's going to stop Tom Brady from throwing the ball? No. But we've seen that this defense, even though it's still not the greatest defense in the world, it's still decent. And they've got some really good players on that side of the ball, including Tyrann Mathieu. And I can't wait to see this matchup. Even though Scotty Miller supposedly is as fast as the cheetah, well, we're going to find out. Hard to do if you have to get yourself up off the ground before you take off running.
844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Text us, 71307, 71307. Tweet us at Lonzo on Word, at ESPN Upstate, at The Rob Brown Show. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Keep going. What do we expect to see X's and O's wise? What is Tampa going to do to try to prevent Tyrann Mathieu from causing them issues? What is Patrick Mahomes going to do to avoid Devin White? We'll break that down coming up next on The Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. Rob and Lonzo with you. So, keys to the game. We got the Super Bowl coming up this weekend. Buccaneers, Chiefs, NFC South champions, taking on the AFC West champion. Should be an interesting storyline with the Brady Mahomes stories. But let's talk about what these two quarterbacks are going to have to do in order to win this game. Lonzo, and look, I'm going to tell you, the Kansas City Chiefs don't really, I don't think, have to do a whole heck of a lot different than what they did in the games leading up to this one, primarily. And I it almost feels lazy. Like when I was putting my keys to the game together for this, I almost kind of felt like I was being lazy because I went right back to Travis Kelce, key to the game, get the guy open, let him work the middle of the field. Force Devin White and that very good Tampa Bay linebacker core, force them to be entirely responsible for Travis Kelce so that you can take the heat and the pressure off of Patrick Mahomes, even if Kelce doesn't touch the football. Back in the day when Reggie Bush was there with the New Orleans Saints, I used to tell people that even though Reggie Bush didn't have these incredible, incredible numbers within the Saints offense, his value wasn't as a number producer. His value was that when he left the backfield, if you didn't have one defensive player entirely committed to sticking with Reggie Bush, then Reggie Bush would burn you. I feel the same way about Travis Kelce. Guy has well over 40 catches this year, Lonzo, but the value that he brings to this offense is it's less about the yards, it's less about the production, and it's more about demanding that one of Tampa Bay's best defenders in Devin White stays right next to him start to finish and takes the heat of Devin White blowing up other opportunities around the field. Again, I know it's something we've been saying all playoffs long, but it is what it is. Travis Kelce is a huge part of what Kansas City needs to happen this weekend.
Yeah, and especially you can't think, oh, well, the play's probably nearly over and let him go, because if you look at the last couple games, and especially the last game, Kelce wasn't usually the go-to receiver. He was the outlet receiver. And if that guy is your outlet receiver, if that's the last guy that Mahomes is looking at, That's pretty good. That says a lot about all the other weapons. And so you can't let up on the guy. You got to go with him full force every single play, because if Mahomes extends the play, he's going to be going to Kelce.
On the Tampa Bay side, to me, it's going to be throwing a lot of complicated routes at that Kansas City defense, right? You've got a handful of playmakers. Scotty Miller, who can get down the field and run with the best of them. Godwin and Evans, obviously, at your X and Y spots, able to run some different crosses. I got to tell you, I would love to see Tampa Bay a number of times put them on the same side of the field. Put Godwin and Evans next to each other and make sure that whatever DBs are lined up on that side of the field realizes you got two Pro Bowlers out there on the same side of the field, and you better have it covered, and then open the other side of the field up for guys coming out of the backfield. Open the other side of the field up for Scotty Miller to go up and get single high coverage with the top safety rotated over towards the Godwin Evans side and let him torch the backside. I expect to see, Lonzo, a lot of complicated routes out of Tampa Bay, and that's the benefit you get from having Brady out there. That guy knows how those routes operate. He can predict how those routes are going to impact defenses, and if he's able to pull off those complicated passing schemes, it should help Tampa Bay out quite a bit. 844 GSP ESPN, X's and O's of the Super Bowl. What do you expect to see play out this weekend when Super Bowl Sunday rolls around? We'll keep going on that when we come back. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's ESPN Upstate.